Podcasting from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area in California, this is Venus Rising, where we discuss all things related to big fertility and encourage you to think beyond the masses. I'm Callie Fell, your host, bringing you the best and most up-to-date conversations on fertility, infertility, and women's reproductive health. Hello, and welcome back to Venus Rising Season 4. I'm your host, Callie Fell. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. All of our earlier seasons can be found on your favorite podcast platform, such as iTunes. And if you've been following our show for some time, thank you for joining us again today. Today, we welcome a very special guest, Abel Garcia. Abel is an independent journalist and YouTuber, and is here today to share his story as a male detransitioner. Abel is active on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube under the handle @OfficialAbelG. I encourage you to follow him in each of these spaces. Abel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
I had intended on giving some details of your transition and subsequent detransition in your introduction, but I thought that it was just best to come from you. So if you don't mind, can we dive right in and talk about your story and how your story starts?
Sure. Would you like to, for me to start in my childhood or just when I started to transition?
Wherever you feel is comfortable and wherever you think it's pertinent for our listeners to know about.
Sure. I'll start with my childhood then. So growing up, my parents came here illegally from Mexico. So they were always very busy here in the States, always working nonstop, trying to obviously support myself and themselves. Growing up, I wasn't really the most masculine child. I wasn't the most out there. I was more quiet, shy, timid, an introvert. And obviously the fact that my dad was always working nonstop, I didn't really have a male role model figure. I was mostly raised by my grandparents. So that probably had a part in my how it all came to this transgender ideology. Obviously, because without my father in the picture, and I've always been an overthinker. I have, for some reason, I assume that if I'm not the most masculine boy, I must have been a girl. Obviously, because I didn't know what the word transgender meant at the time, I just lived my life as a not so masculine boy growing up. So I didn't really figure out what the word transgender was until, I'd say, either late middle school or early high school, freshman year at the latest, when I found the word transgender. And when I found it, I thought, oh, that explains what I am. But obviously, I didn't act onto it until after I had left high school. And then it would just place a seed of thoughts, I guess I could say, in my mind. And all of high school, I thought about it, but like I said, never acted on it. Which, looking back now, I'm kind of glad I didn't do anything. Eventually, I decided I wanted to transition. And I told my mother that I wanted to transition in December of 2015. Obviously, because my parents are Mexican, they did not understand what this was or what any of this meant. My mom was scared. She cried, asked so many questions. And I told her, this is what I wanted to do. I asked her, do not tell my father. I assume she must have told my father. And that'll be important in a minute.
Yeah. How old were you in 2015, Abel?
I was 18.
18, okay.
So March, if I'm correct, around March, early 2016, I went to see a therapist and I said, I think I might be transgender and I would like to see if I am or I'm not.
What kind of therapist do you know? What kind of therapist?
She was a gender therapist, I believe. Okay. I have to say, I believe so because she worked at the local LGBT center.
Okay.
But so I went to seek her out and I told her, hey, I think I might be transgender. And after the, it was not even long into the first session I had with her, she said, yes, I am a transgender woman. She had my letter to transition with hormones right away.
That same day, first visit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
and she did not want to gatekeep me with my transition. I had asked her why she was so ready to transition, or for me to transition, when I was still trying to ask answer. She says, well, because you're obviously transgender. So I didn't transition right away. I told her I wanted to wait a little bit before I wanted to make sure everything was good, just in case there was something else that wasn't, that was there besides actually being trans. I did not get the help that I needed. She only affirmed me in my transition, and that's the only thing she did. A few months into therapy with her, by the time my father must have found out that I was thinking about transitioning, and he took me to Mexico under the guise of he needed a second driver because he was going to be having surgery by getting a tooth pulled out, and he was going to be under so much medication, which he did. But he also did take me to a prostitute to try to cure me. And so when we finally went to Mexico after he was done with the doctor, my father, because we had left so early in the day to go to Mexico, because it was just across the border. I had an aide, he had an aide, so he told me if I was hungry, that was his way to take me to a prostitute. I was very nervous as heck, and I honestly just wanted to get the heck out of there, but I hated that. That traumatized me.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize it until after a few years. Not even the therapist who signed off on me to transition looked into this deeply. Like, oh shit, you were traumatized by that. She only cared enough to put someone under the path to transition. But a few months after that, I finally accepted hormones. I moved out of my parents' home, and I started the path to transition. Got hormones, started them in November 2016.
Did you feel like you understood the risks of what you're about to undertake, or did anyone give you those risks?
No, nobody gave me any risk. I was told exactly what I wanted to hear, that I would become a woman with enough surgeries and hormones. Even when I went to the doctor who had a sign off on them, he said the same thing, and he even said, I actually have a trans woman who's been transitioning for so many years, you can't even tell. And I said, oh, okay, I'll talk to her. Which is about, that was a biological man, but because I didn't really know, I said, yeah, I'll talk to this person. Person comes in and looks at me and asks me to stand up, do a little twirl, and says, yeah, just looking at you, I can definitely tell you are supposed to be born a woman. Your body figure is that of a woman. And I was like, oh, okay, well, someone who at the time was thinking, okay, someone who has more knowledge than I do.
Right.
And obviously should definitely know, especially if they transitioned for a long time. I can't even tell. Obviously, not looking back, I don't even think that's appropriate for a doctor to allow someone else in and do that, especially because that person was just an activist and worked within the medical office there as an activist for other transgenders. So I continued my transition. So November 2016 is when I finally took hormones. It went well. A few months later, in April of the next year, 2017, I got my legal name changed. I got all my gender markers changed. So I was now in the state of California, a legally recognized female with a female name and everything. That went well, had no issues. 7 months later, I went in to see another therapist through the medical clinic because I was thinking about surgery. And obviously I wanted to look as feminine as possible. So talking to this therapist, medical professional, I don't remember exactly what he was. He says he can get me my letters to approve for surgery. And it was during that session that he got me approved. I told him I definitely want to get bottom surgery, but I didn't want to get it then. Because the thing is that before I did anything back when I first went to see a therapist, I told myself, I want to wait 5 years before I get implants, 10 years before I get bottom surgery. So,
and from the time that you started the estrogen
hormones,
or?
Yes, from when I started hormones.
Gotcha. And did you have any side effects from, how did the estrogen or the hormones make you feel?
So the hormones did what their job was supposed to do. They made my skin softer. I didn't really have much of a beard. So it also made the hairs on my face and all over my body less than what they normally were.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously developed breast implants. Not developed breast implants. I developed breast tissue.
Gotcha.
I was going to say, well, I did not know. Wow. That's new for me.
Breast implants. Marvel.
So they did what they were supposed to do. I didn't really have any side effects until I think a couple years later when I realized that I had made a mistake. But I want to go back to what I was saying with that other therapist. So I had told him I obviously want to get implants. I want to get a bottom surgery. For those who don't know what that is, it's penile inversion and creating a neo vagina from my penis. But I told him I want to wait on that, honestly, at least 10 years. So that was my original plan. 10 years for bottom surgery, 5 years for top. And I wasn't sure when I wanted to get my face done. But it was somewhere in between that timeline. I thought he just approved me for implants. Unknowingly, he approved me for both breast implants and penile inversion. And I say that because a few weeks later in the mail, I got two letters of approval from my insurance, one for breast implants and one for penile inversion and creating a neovagina.
So insurance is going to pay for the whole procedures.
That is correct. My insurance in California covered everything.
Okay.
When I looked at the letters, I knew what the implants was for. But I was looking at the bottom of surgery, and I was like, okay, what's this? I don't even know what this is. So I asked a few friends. It's like, hey, you want to read this with me? Because I don't know what this is. And I only asked for one letter, unless I made a mistake and sent two, but under two different doctors. And then after we looked a little into it, it was like, we realized, oh, it's bottom surgery, remove of my genitals. And I was like, I didn't ask for this. So I just ignored the letter and I just left it at that. And I got one final letter in the mail saying, hey, don't forget you have this surgery. But I ignored that one as well. I eventually got the implants, and that was May of 2018. Everything went well, honestly, with that. And that's probably because at the time of the implants, I was still on some heavy painkillers, because obviously it's surgery and
right. You're
going to need painkillers to deal with all the pain. By the time the painkillers wore off, I didn't really have any pain. And I was just, I guess I'd call it a honeymoon phase of getting the implants and looking more feminine to the outside world, because now I have breasts. And obviously you wouldn't expect a man to have breasts as big as I got them. And no, they weren't comically huge as most people are going to think. But they were somewhat big, just because the doctor said I had to get them a little bit bigger than I would have normally wanted, just because the way that he did it is put it under the muscle of my tissue so it can look as normal-ish as possible, as normal breasts.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. If you have a keen eye, you can tell they were implants.
Mm.
But at the same time of after surgery, I also had a friend's graduation, so I wasn't really concerned about, or I wasn't thinking about anything. It was just more of a couple of things are happening in my life, and these are all good moments, so I wanted to enjoy everything. It wasn't after 3 months after the implants that the way I just explained is I got slapped in the face by reality.
Hmm.
And the reason why I say I got slapped is because, well, reality says that I'm a man. I was born a man, and I'm going to die a man. And I just woke, even though I woke up that day, I don't recall which day, but I just woke up one day realizing, what am I doing to myself? What am I doing? And But I will also say before that, before I saw the therapist, which also goes in with the 5 and the 10 year plan that I had for surgeries, my conscience had told me, hey, this might not be the right choice for you. Let's not go as quickly as we would love to, because if I go too fast, obviously I'm going to harm myself.
Was there any sort of event that caused your epiphany, something you saw online maybe, or was this just something that kind of came to you?
No, it just came to me. Like I said, it's at the time, I was almost 3 years into the transition. And I was almost 2 years into my transition, not 3 years, sorry. Before I had started anything, I had already thought of the possibility I could be wrong.
You were encouraged to move ahead regardless of those doubts.
Yeah. But the doubts, I don't think I ever mentioned them to anyone.
Okay.
They were just my own thoughts, my conscience. But I was always approved by everyone around me.
No, what about your parents and family?
By the time I transitioned, I had moved out. I didn't want to be with them because those around me said, well, your family's toxic. It's a stereotypical thing that they always tell anyone who claims to be trans. Your family's toxic. They hate you. They're transphobic. They're not going to love you. The standard thing, what they normally say. So I believed it and I moved out and my brain just died.
It's okay. It's a lot of information and you're recounting a pretty intense time in your life. So that's okay. Take your time.
What was I saying right before? Surgery. Let me see.
We were talking about how you kind of woke up to the idea that you were doing something wrong, but you've never really voiced that to anyone, but you were supported through your transition.
Yeah, so as much as I would love to have said it, it just came out of nowhere. It was actually a buildup of time. My conscience had already known, but I was not willing to face reality. So that's why I just say I woke up one day and got slapped in the face by reality. And I just had to look at myself as like, what am I doing to myself? I'm a man. I've got long hair. I got breast implants. I look somewhat like a woman, but I'm not going to be a woman. Just even if I get the full surgery, I'm never going to be a woman. Yes, I can live life as a woman, quote unquote woman, but I would never have I would never experience life to the full extent of what a woman actually is. I was just going to be a decoy woman, a caricature, whatever you want to call it, but anything but a real woman. I was just fake. It was just going to be a man with so much plastic surgery just to mimic a woman. And I think once I realized that, I had to accept reality, and it took me a while to actually accept it. And I say that because even though I wanted to reverse everything right away, it took a while to finally accept it, because I also became a heavy alcoholic. And I just had to deal with some of the pain and the fact that I was making mistakes. By the time I was seeking for help, I was still taking hormones and everything. It wasn't until a few more months later I was like, okay, I'm done with all the hormones. And that was in April of 2019. So I think it was 4 months after surgery, and this is still 2018, by then I had gone to my doctor, say, hey, I think I made a mistake. What can I do to see if I can reverse any of this? Because my doctor had done, I think, 20 or 25 years with transgender patients, but to him, he's never had anyone reverse anything. He didn't know. So I think he said I had to go back to the therapist who signed me off on this. And so I went to her and I said, hey, I think I might have made a mistake. What's the process of potentially detransitioning? It did not go well that day. So she told me that I don't need to detransition. Everything that I'm feeling right now is just because I just had surgery and my body's recovering. And I got her notes on that day, for that day. And it just says that I have always been withholding childhood trauma. And that was actually the reason why they were just all coming up now, a few months after I had surgery, while I'm still recovering. And I was like, I didn't say anything to her. But after I left her office, I'm just like, what the f*** is she on about? And she tried to dismiss my feelings, my experience. What I'm trying to say, like, hey, I might have made a mistake. What's the way to reverse this? So she obviously ignored what I wanted to do, which by then I was no longer within the LGBT community. I had fallout a few months prior. So I wasn't really surprised that I was being left to the street by myself. And even though that was my first experience, it was the next therapist that made me realize that this is all insanity. Because she obviously affirmed my transition as a woman right away, but she dismissed my thoughts of returning to being a man again. Mm-hmm. So after that session, I think I waited a few weeks because I didn't want to make it sound like it was that session that, like, okay, you're crazy. I waited a bit and I told her, hey, I do appreciate, but unfortunately my scheduling, I just got another job and the scheduling is so bad, I don't think I can see you anymore. I lied. I'm going to have to double check the notes, what I had said, but it was something around scheduling that prevented me.
Mm-hmm.
So a few months later, I try to find a new therapist and I get a new one. I get a new therapist through my doctor and I tell him, hey, doc, so my therapist couldn't help me. Do you guys have a therapist here at this clinic that I can talk to? He said, yeah, we have one. Let me submit a request for you to see him. And I go see him. And I think by then, I think he was going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Later, finding out that he was useless. If not useless, worse than the first one.
Mm.
So the reason why I say that is because in the time that I was waiting, an idea came to my mind saying that at the time, if you were transgender, you cannot join the military if you were actively transgender, but you could join if you reverse everything. So I had gone to the army and I said, hey, what would I need to join? I spoke to a recruiter and they said, and I told them, I'm actually transgender. So what do I need to do? She said, one of two things, either you can reverse what you're doing and enroll as a man or finish the surgery and enroll as a woman. I said, I'll do the first option just so that's what I'd rather do.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I need to know, I know I have to get a therapist to sign off on this. So let me go and work that out. So, and the recruiter was willing to work with me and wait. So I go see a therapist and I tell him, hey, I'm thinking about detransitioning. I also want to join the military, but they're telling me the only option I have is to detransition. I obviously withheld the information that I need to get of the other option, which is completely get the surgery in, because right. I knew I didn't want to get it by then. By right. then, I had realized, okay, I'm making a mistake. He was not helpful. He would not let me detransition.
Hmm.
Now, because at the time I had recently had failed the police academy, and I was in communication with the chief of police of my local police department on eventually joining his department. This therapist said it's easier for me to join the police force as a trans woman because the chief had already known me and he would have loved to have me on the force. compared to joining the military, reverse everything, and eventually come back a few years later and have to redo everything. And I told him, if that's the only option I have, I don't mind going through the military if I have to wait. Obviously, he didn't agree with that, and his notes that I also have received have said that I should have not been very cavalier with my gender in regards to detransitioning, because I don't know the full side effects and how dangerous it could be to my body. And I'm just like, when I finally got those notes, and I was like, okay, what the hell are you saying? And you're biased as hell. Because I realized quickly into his sessions, okay, he's biased. He doesn't want me to reverse anything. He wants me to be a transgender woman. Even though I believe I made enough points like, hey, I made a mistake. Can I get some actual help?
Right. That should be all that you have to say, I feel like. I feel like you shouldn't have to give, you know, you can say, I made a mistake. I need help reversing this. And someone should hear you. That should be enough, right?
You would assume that, but sadly not in California, where they say, no, they only want you to transition.
And then after that, it was hard to find someone. I want to jump ahead just a tiny bit because we're talking on this, but did you finally find someone who would listen to you and help you?
Yes.
And then did insurance pay for that the same way it paid for you to transition?
So that's actually a funny story. And I'm actually kind of done with that second therapist because he was useless. Personally, I'd say he was way worse than the first one.
Yeah. But I'd say anyone that's not listening to you.
Yeah. So after I realized he would not help me, I was looking on the internet trying to figure out. And then one day when I was working, I get a notification of a video that was just dropped from someone that I was following at the time. And it was, they did an interview with a detransitioner. I didn't know what that was at the time. So I looked at the video, and the person that was being interviewed was a gentleman by the name of Walt Heyer. I'm not sure if you know who that is.
Mm-hmm. So he's pretty elderly now, yes?
He's 82 years old. He transitioned in 1983 is when he transitioned. 1990 is when he detransitioned. So I had, when I found out who he was, I spent a couple of weeks just looking at all his videos, trying to get as much as information as I could on detransitioners and him. And eventually I found out that he had a website. I reached out to him through email and I said, hi, my name is Abel Garcia. I'm a transgender woman. And I think I made a mistake. Can you help me?
Wow.
He said, yes, he could help me. And we started communicating a bit. And I told him I just had two situations with two therapists who would not help me detransition. This was in Southern California. He eventually said, when I told him where I lived, he said, okay, I have a friend who works in that area as a therapist. Here's his name. And I don't know where he works, but if you find him, tell him I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually I found him. Took multiple tries to finally get him as a therapist because he was always busy. Eventually, he gave me a few minutes to talk to him before becoming a patient. I said, hey, my name is Abel Garcia. I am a transgender woman. I was sent to you by your friend Walt Heyer so I can detransition. Obviously, after he heard that, he said, okay, I'll take you as a patient. So I see him, I think it was mid to late 2019 is when I started seeing him. And that's when I realized, okay, so this is actually someone who's willing to help me. I eventually cut off my ties with the last therapist. And I told him again the same lie. Or I think I lied to him. I don't recall exactly what I said. It was either scheduling issue or I no longer have the thoughts of detransitioning. It was one of those two. More likely the latter, but that's off topic. And I'm going long into this debate, this debacle. But after I see this final therapist, because he was my last therapist before I left California, he told me everything that we're going to do is of my own choice. nothing that we say in here is because of him, because the state of California, if they catch wind of what he's doing, would consider it conversion therapy. Wow. So we were walking on a lot of eggshells when I saw him. Obviously, insurance did not cover the first few months with therapy with him because he did not accept my insurance, but eventually he was in the process of getting it, and I got it. And I got it approved to see him. I actually just found out that he actually was charging almost $200 per session, and the insurance would only pay about 75% of it. They wouldn't even pay the full amount. And I didn't even know that till like a few weeks ago. So I'm just like, wow, they kind of ripped him off. But everything went well with him. The insurance did not. So because this was actually also during COVID-19 in California, we had so many lockdowns.
Yeah.
We eventually found out that we needed two medical professionals to sign off on me, so I can transition, which was news to me because prior to that, everything was so easy. But when we finally got that information, I started to look for another medical professional. I needed either a therapist or psychologist or a psychiatrist. I can't remember which one's which. Eventually, I did find another medical professional to sign off on me. He didn't really want to see me because, again, COVID-19, and he did not want to take any new patients just because he was scared.
And this was to sign off to have the reversal.
To have the implants removed.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because you in California, you need... I don't know if it's just in general you need to do any type of transgender detransition surgery, but you need two medical professionals to sign off. I assumed it was just one because I only had one medical professional sign off on me the entire time for the implants.
Sure, to go, yeah.
But unless they had another one who already had everything ready as soon as the first one approved it, which is what I'm assuming is the case. So eventually I bugged the hell out of this medical professional and his team, saying, hey, I really need to see him. You're the only one that's in the area that my insurance covers. I'm a transgender woman. I think I made a mistake and no one is willing to see me. I just want help to reverse what I've done and become a man again. So eventually I got to see this other medical professional, and he said, okay, I'll take care of the client. I did record show two sessions with him, and the second one is where he signed off on it. He had multiple questions, and eventually I gave him the answer that he wanted, which I made a mistake. And once I got that letter from him, I provided that to my therapist. My therapist wrote his letter, submitted everything to the insurance, and I thought that was going to be it. That all we needed were those two letters, and I would set up an appointment with the doctor to remove my implant. Well, unfortunately, that's not what happened. The insurance sent me a letter saying, unfortunately, we have denied your request for surgery because we do not see it medically necessary for you to have the implants removed. And I'm just like, what the hell? I obviously tell my therapist next time I see him, which I think was which was the following week after I got that letter of denial. So he tells me, what can we do? I said, I know I can call and file a petition to challenge their claim or their decision. But that was going to take a while. Normally it's 30 days for them to reply. I call them, I say, hey, I'm transgender. And I don't recall exactly what I said, but it was under the fact that I made a mistake and I need this to reverse. 30 days later, they sent me a letter, and I get the letter of approval saying that their decision has been overturned and they will be covering the surgery. Which was good news, because
yeah.
I was in because I didn't know how much it was going to cost. My therapist and I, we were already looking at options of how much is this going to cost out of hand and who knows what it would cost.
Yeah.
But luckily we did get the approval letter. I was told who the surgeon was going to be, and I looked at the name and said, why does this surgeon look so familiar? And I was like, I didn't realize that it took a minute after, but eventually I realized the surgeon who was removing the implants was the same surgeon who gave them to me.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was kind of surprised to see me when I came in, and I said, look, doc, I made a mistake, honestly. And I want them removed. And we talked that in the first session, and he says, if that's what you want, I'll gladly remove them. That's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad. So this was, 2020? And we think I saw him for a few times, and eventually we got surgery date for December 3rd of 2020. I go in for surgery. I get the implants removed. And before we even did surgery, I asked, so are you going to remove everything completely and fix my chest that same session? He says, no, you can't do that.
Hmm.
The reason was because there was so much excess skin. Mm-hmm. I needed, he wanted me to lose as much weight as I could, because that would have meant less work for him. And it would have looked, it looks better, obviously, if it's done in two sessions instead of one, just because it's less healing, less work for my body to deal with.
Yeah.
So I said, that's fine. So I get the implants removed, but I was left with excess skin on mm-hmm. my chest. So after that, I got all my documents changed, and that took forever as well. Mm-hmm. Because I knew I was going to have surgery in December, I thought, and I had 2 weeks off for work to recover and get everything changed. I thought I could get a court order in that time, and I submitted the paperwork in October.
And that's to get your name changed back and your...
My name changed and all my documents back to being male.
Gotcha.
So I submitted all the paperwork to the court system in October, two months before surgery. And they wanted me to pay for the court fees and everything. And I was like, and I'm in my head like, the hell? I didn't pay for the first time.
Hmm.
It's California. They cover everything for if it's transgender related.
Right.
And I
except
say, well,
for if you're going back.
Mm-hmm. Which on the spot, I say, well, I'm actually transgender. So why do I need to pay for this? I don't pay for this. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're trans. Oh, never mind. Fees are waived.
Wow.
Okay. And I was like, perfect. Obviously, I didn't say anything to them. But so in my head, I'm just like, all right, that worked.
Yeah.
So I got, they said that my documents would be ready in December. And I called them a week before, like, hey, this is Abel Garcia. Well, my name wasn't Abel. It was something else, which I'm mm-hmm. not going to say.
That's okay.
It said, hey, this is Abel Garcia. I'm just calling because you guys said my paperwork would be ready in about a week. I don't know if it's a court hearing or what's going on. Well, we don't have anything on file. And I was like, what do you mean? I submitted all the paperwork back in October. I said, well, call us back in a couple of days and we'll see what's going on. I call. And that was a whole debacle. I spent like I went to the courthouse five different times, and I think they knew who I was by then. I think it was by the second or third time. They're like, oh, great, she's coming back again. What the hell is she need? We told her we don't have them yet. Eventually, the last time I heard was, yeah, they're finally on the judge's desk, so now we just wait. And I honestly had forgotten about it because I had surgery and I was like, I was kind of done with it. Eventually, in January, I got a letter from the courthouse saying, congratulations, it's been approved and your name and everything has been changed from your old name to your real name, to your current name back to your old name. It's like, perfect.
Was it a big sigh of relief for you?
Yeah. I was finally happy when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to the DMV. I went to the Social Security. Social Security was apparently closed due to COVID, and that made it. And I didn't even realize it was closed. I woke up a couple hours in advance the day I was going to the courthouse, or I'm sorry, Social Security, and that's when I realized. I think it was like half an hour into when they were supposed to open. It's like, what the hell is going on? Why isn't it open? And I noticed, oh, they are not open. So I had called and I said, yeah, we're not taking anyone inside because of COVID. And so you have to mail us everything. I said, okay, that's fine. I can mail everything. And when I mailed them, apparently there was some document that was missing. So they sent everything back or something was missing. I don't recall. So I had to deal with that. I think it took like 4 to 6 months after I got my court order so I can finally change all my documents back. So even though I was presenting as a man again, I was like, I was still legally female, and that was embarrassing as hell. So I don't recall exactly when, but it was at least in the, what was it, 2021, I had all my documents eventually changed back.
So a very long process from the time that you decided that you had made a mistake to getting your surgery, stopping the drugs, and getting your legal name back and affairs in order. Really, much longer than the reverse.
That is correct. And because I had only just removed the implants and I still had breast tissue, I guess you can call it gynecomastia. For those who don't know what that means, it just means man breast, man boobs, however you want to call it. So I had to do one more surgery. And in February of this year, I went back in under the knife and got that recovered and got that done.
So what can people do to better support now that you've been through this experience? What can people do to better support folks who are going through this? Maybe we could use your parent. Are you in a better relationship with your parents now? What can parents do to support their children?
Sure. So with my father, I have a better relationship with him. We both admitted that we were both wrong. Him with the prostitute, me doing what I did. My mother and I are in a bit of a rocky relationship now, just because before, how do I put it? So after I realized that I made a mistake, but I made the mistake in 2018. I didn't tell anyone until December of 2020. But my mom has always been like, oh, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to make a mistake. And this was especially after I realized I made a mistake, but I didn't want to admit it. And I'm just like, just tell her, can you please stop? Can you please stop? But she didn't. And the other reason why I have a rocky relationship with my mother is that both my parents are divorced now. And my mother became a lesbian. And her partner, I'm not going to call her wife because I don't like the woman. She's here from Mexico, so
a little bit of a rocky, strained relationship there then.
The woman, to be nice, I normally use very colorful language, but because it is not my channel and not my podcast, I will be refrain from using the normal language I call her, which are very derogative words because she deserves them, because she is a very rude person.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so my mother obviously sides with her partner over her own child. So obviously, I understand why we have a rocky relationship. But my father and I have rebuilt our relationship. He's obviously remarried, and his wife is much nicer than my mother's partner. And so I think she also helps my dad, and I keep him balanced.
So what would you say then to other parents maybe who have kids, or what would you say to kids who think that they need to transition? What would be your message to them?
I would say to the parents, obviously, don't let your children transition. Don't let them do anything. But if your child is an adult, sadly, you can't do anything. Just be patient. I know firsthand that the people your children are going to associate with are going to tell them that you're terrible people, that you're transphobic, you don't love them, which... And I've actually had the opportunity to speak to so many parents, and the message, what I get from them is they actually do love their children. Well, they actually do love their children. They care for them, and they're very worried because they don't know what's going on. Because a lot of these parents, honestly, they're so busy nowadays, especially with everything that's going on. They're so busy working, they don't have time to look at their kids on what they're doing, what they're, who they associate with, and what they're doing, especially with the how prominent the internet is.
And now they're fighting schools too, right? Like some schools are transitioning children without the parents' knowledge or consent, which is very scary.
That is true. There are a lot of schools all over the U.S. that have what is called a transition closet, or I don't remember what it's called precisely, but it's mostly just a closet where they have clothes for both male and females. I think for the women, they have what is considered a binder. For those who don't know what that is, it just compresses your chest, almost like a corset, but just for the breast only, just to make them appear flat. And this teachers do this without the parents' consent or approval or knowledge to that, for that matter. All while the school approves of it, because the schools are all pro transitioning children and ignoring parental consent.
So what would you say to someone who may be in the spot that you were a few years ago, someone who has bought the lie of the gender industry and is now struggling or thinking about trying to come back and accept their true self?
So I would say to anyone who is currently transitioning or wants to do it, I would say don't do this, please. I know in the beginning you're gonna think this is actually very helpful, especially with all these honeymoon phases with the medication, surgeries, and the fact that you're gonna get love bombed by all these activists and those who and their allies. They're gonna tell you this is the right choice. This is who you truly are. This is how you were supposed to be born. Which they're lying to you. I'm sorry to say it. The truth is hard, but I can confirm that with all the people who I have personally spoken with, that these medications, these surgeries are going to be more harmful. Just for an example, there is one young man in the UK who has gone into full bottom surgery. He can't even, he only feels pain when he does anything regarding to what he's done to himself.
Do you have any, side effects from having the surgery and then having it reversed?
Yes, sadly I do. So my chest is completely numb on some parts. So if you wanted to stab me in the chest, I probably wouldn't even feel it. Obviously, my genitals have atrophied. So for those who don't know what that means, it just means that they are very, 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 emphasis on very, small.
Yeah. Do you worry about your fertility and if you want to have a family?
That is my main issue. I don't even know. And I'm very scared to get that tested. Obviously, due to the atrophy of my genitals, I have an issue of using the restroom. It takes me forever to go. And even when I feel like I've completely emptied my bladder, I will still be having some urine within, I'd say, 30 seconds after I'm done, still come out. And obviously, my clothes will smell like urine as well. Now, I would say it was either before or after, more than likely after surgery, I realized I had some shaking on the left half of my body, but at the time I didn't know what that was. Recently, because I've been able to keep a more eye on it, I noticed that the left half of my body, mostly my arm, it shakes on its own. My face has started to do it on its own as well. I've spoken to some people and I have yet to get this checked out, but I have more than likely have developed MS. I don't know if you or your viewers know what that is, but and I'm going to butcher it, but it's called multiple sclerosis. Sclerosis, yes. And I've spoken to other people and they say that's pretty odd because it normally doesn't happen to men. It's more of something affects that women. But because I was on estrogen for about 2.5 years, they're not that surprised that it might have developed it with me.
Wow. Do you have hope for this industry crumbling? Do you think that we're close with Tavistock closing, lawsuits being made? Do you think that there's hope? I'd like to end on a hopeful note, but maybe you don't.
Well, yes, I have a hopeful note. And I say that because obviously you just said the Tavistock is being shut down. And so they're no longer going to be doing it there, but unfortunately they will be doing it in other clinics.
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently the Tavistock is being sued by 1,000 families, which is good. Because if they all win their cases, that's going to have some legal precedent.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Tavistock already lost to one case, but a higher court ruled in the favor of Tavistock, which is Carabelle versus Tavistock, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know there are some people here in the U.S. that are thinking of suing. Me personally, I cannot sue anymore. I've unfortunately passed statute of limitations, which for me was 3 years in California.
Only 3 years. Wow.
3 years once I start the process for any medical procedure, or 1 year when I realize I make the mistake.
Wow.
Realized the mistake in 2018. I started the process in 2016. They both ended in 2019.
Yeah.
So I'm out of luck, honestly.
But you're sharing your story and you're talking to others. I just want to plug again that you are on Twitter and Instagram. And I know that you, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I saw where you keep your messages open and active. So if anyone wants to reach out, similar to how Walt reached out and helped you, that people can message you directly, whether that's parents who might have a child who's questioning their identity, or if that's people themselves who have transitioned or detransitioned. Is that right?
Yes. So because I can only upload, I can either do very short tweets on mm-hmm. Twitter. I decided to do a video. So my main thing on Twitter, and this goes for everything on YouTube, on Instagram, wherever I'm on, if you're a parent or you're a relative and you have someone in your family who is currently transitioning, you need someone to talk to, you are more than welcome to message me mm-hmm. on Twitter, Instagram with a direct message. Leave a comment on YouTube. I will direct you to send me a message to social media. Or you're more than welcome to send me an email detailing what's going on with your situation. This also goes to those who are currently transitioning. But I mostly did that because I noticed a lot of detransitioners are being attacked on social media. Yeah. Because obviously all these activists, I don't even consider medical professionals who do this, actual doctors. I just consider them Frankenstein doctors. And that's being nice, because the other option I have is referring to them of a German doctor during a certain area that the Germans do not like. I think you might have an idea who I'm referring to. I hope your viewers either know exactly who I'm referring to, or if not,
just look. You're experimenting wrongly on kids, really targeting, mm-hmm. and not just kids, adults too. But
they are targeting children who know nothing, young adults who are lost. Mm-hmm. Or those who might be autistic, or in the possible case of homosexuality, who mm-hmm. do not like their own homosexuality. There are so many reasons, and they are playing God with us.
Well, I'd love to have you back sometime and we can talk about this industry a little bit more. And now that you've shared your story, kind of some more insights that you have about it. But I believe we are close to out of time today, and it has been an absolute privilege and an honor for you to come on to Venus Rising, and I appreciate that you had the courage to share your story with us. So thank you for joining me today, Abel.
Well, thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to again remind listeners to follow you on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @OfficialAbelG, A-B-E-L-G. Abel, like I said, makes himself available, so please go check him out there and follow him. You can also find Abel on YouTube as well. I'd like to thank each and every one of our listeners and subscribers for tuning in. Our goal, as ever, is to create conversation, facilitate discussion, and encourage you to think beyond the masses. Thanks for listening to Venus Rising. If you like our show and want to know more, check us out at cbc-network.org. Leave us a review on iTunes, too, and join us next week for another conversation on fertility, infertility, and women's reproductive health.